This is Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. If you watched the Oscars, you got your fair share of fabulous storytelling. But as makers of reality TV know, some of the best stories are reality. Later this hour, we'll check in with the leader of a two-man team who recently walked to the South Pole and back with almost no outside support. But first, about a month ago, a Canadian researcher on Sable Island off the coast of Nova Scotia came across a real-life message in a bottle. The sender is no longer with us, but not because he perished on a tropical island for want of a rescue. Dean Bumpus was a physical oceanographer at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Between 1956 and 1972, he loaded over 300,000 empty beer and whiskey bottles with cards requesting the finder to report the location of the bottle upon discovery. He then dumped them into the ocean with the goal of learning more about how ocean currents move and sparking public interest in the ocean. This story has captured attention internationally. After all, who doesn't love a good story about a message in a bottle? So today, we're looking at the scientific and public legacy of Dean Bumpus's bottles. My guests are Dr. Warren Joyce of Canada's Department of Fisheries and Oceans. He's the person who found that wayward bottle. Lonnie Lipsett, managing editor, Oceanus Magazine, and incidentally, the one who made good on the 50-cent finder's reward. Peter Bumpus, son of Dean Bumpus, and Dr. Pell Robbins, research specialist in the Physical Oceanography Department at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Now, Lonnie, you are the one who on this end got word that one of these bottles had been found. So tell us how you got word and kind of how that proceeded.
Well, it floated into my email. It's just like a message in the bottle that instead of floating from, you know, over the sea, it floated into my email box. And Warren Joyce had notified the Physical Oceanography Department at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution and with a message that he had found it. And that message eventually found its way into my email box, where I saw it and I said, hey, this is just a message in a bottle. It came from far away, came from back in time, and it holds a great story, just like any good message in a bottle.
Well, we will actually talk with Dr. Warren Joyce in a few minutes about finding that. But Peter Bumpus, you know, this was your father's research program. You were actually, I take it, out there at times throwing bottles overboard. And every time one of these bottles resurfaces, I gather your family hears about it in the forms of emails and letters from people who at some point did find one of these bottles. It really captures people's imagination. Peter, are you there?
What's up? Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Every time this comes up, it seems to get quite a lot of attention. I think there's a romance that goes with a message in a bottle that just captures the imagination of the general public. It's been so since he started the program. The letters that he used to get back were people inquiring about where their bottles went in and what was, you know, what the deal was and what he was doing. It just really captures the imagination.
Now, Lonnie, the original promise, the message that was in those bottles, promised a 50-cent reward. And I gather from some emails that were shared with us that Dean Bumpus's family wasn't sure who he would actually make good on that promise, but you actually personally made sure that that happened.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the funny parts is that the email from Warren Joyce said, I found this, and it says there's a 50-cent reward, and you don't have to pay for it. But I said, well, you know, the institution has to make good on its word. And I also thought, well, you know, 50 cents for a good story, that's a bargain. And finally, I said, you know, what goes around comes around. So I had to complete that circle.
Now, Warren Joyce, you are the one who found this bottle. You were out, I take it, on Sable Island for your own research purposes. Tell us a little bit about finding the bottle. I mean, what went through your mind when you pulled this bottle out of the dunes on Sable Island?
Assisting with some gray seal research on Sable. I mainly work with sharks myself. But during one of our goals of this project was to get a census of the number of seals on the island. So one day while I was out counting seals and marked seals, just on the south end of the island, I came across a little gully, and in there was a collection of debris that had come ashore, some bottles and some other junk. And I looked down and just happened to see this piece of paper in one bottle, and it had a cork on the top of it. So I picked it up and immediately saw that, yes, there was a piece of paper in it, and it had said, break this bottle. So the bottle was sandblasted, so it was kind of hard to see through, but the lower portion of it was visible, and that I was able to see that it had come from Woods Hole at some point. And it looked like it was quite old at that time. So I collected it and just kept it until I got back to the mainland, and then just did a brief internet search to try to find out where it might have come from.
And so the message that was in there didn't immediately tell you, you know, this bottle was put in the ocean to study ocean currents, didn't give you that kind of context? It just said...
Yes, it did, yeah. You could make out just bits of the text on the paper in the bottle, saying that it was part of a current study and that it should be returned. And I could see the reward for 50 cents. So that was kind of an indication that it was old. And, you know, just being a scientist myself, I figured somebody would be interested in this information. So,
yeah. Well, thank you for doing that, not only for what we might learn from that, but for bringing this story back to the surface. It really is a fabulous one. I mean, I have to wonder how many of these bottles have been found perhaps in recent years by people who just decided, oh, well, this looks old, it's probably out of date, and did nothing with it. You know, the fact that you actually followed up on it is I think, wonderful.
Well, I think that was the biggest satisfaction to me, was just finding out the history of this bottle. It was that was the most rewarding part of it in itself, just finding out the history associated with it and learning about Dean Bumpus and everyone who works down at Woods Hole associated with it.
Well, so Lonnie, tell us a little bit about the story and about the actual program that Dean Bumpus ran. I mean, it was about a 16-year period where he was putting these bottles into the ocean. Was that really the only technology he had to hand?
Yeah, this was before the 1970s. There really were no sophisticated instruments to try to get a sense of how currents were moving in the ocean, either at the surface or deeper down. There are no current meters, no drifters, no satellites, nothing like that. So in some ways, this is a heroic effort. When I was in college, I remember a line in a poem that I read, an old English poem called The Wanderer, and it talks about a man stirring with his hands the frost-cold sea. And I always thought that was, you know, a great image of something that was daunting and impossible. And when I think about the oceanographers, you know, even 50 years ago, to try to get a handle on what's going on in the ocean, that's why I thought the story was so heroic. You know, Dean Bumpus said, "I'm going to try this," and he did it in an elegant way with a lot of hope. He was hopeful that people would return these bottles, and he basically put them out and hoped that he would get dots back and then be able to connect those dots to try to get, you know, even a preliminary idea of what was going on in the ocean.
Well, and simply the logistics of where he got all these bottles is a great story. I mean, 300,000 bottles is a lot of bottles. And so he was asking the whole community to chip in and provide their empties.
Well, let me read you, actually, this was great. He had a note, apparently, a memo that he issued. And let me just read it because it's very funny. It says, "All hands respectfully requested until further notice to bring their dead soldiers to the lab and deposit them in the box just inside the gate. Whiskey, rum, beer, wine, or champagne bottles will be used to make drift bottles. Any clean bottles, 8 ounces to 1 quart in size, will be gratefully received. Bottoms up."
I think it says perhaps something about the scientific community at the time that he didn't solicit soda bottles, only beer, wine, and whiskey bottles.
Well, oceanographers are very enterprising, and they find anything at hand to get the information they need.
Well, Peter Bumpus, you've said that your father was also very charismatic and enterprising and didn't restrict himself to just going out on an oceanographic vessel. He had a variety of people going out on all sorts of different boats to get these drifters out into the ocean.
Comment on the bottle source for just a moment before I start in on that. If you look at the bottle that Warren found, that is, in fact, an empty soda bottle. that never had soda in it. The program started out with a very, very few bottles. He was interested in circulation from the period right after World War II on, and has published papers on it start then. But in the very beginning of the program in the early 50s, it was all bottles that he got by donations. But it moved into with 300,000 of them going out there, quite a lot of them were bottles that, like the one that Warren found, that were bought new in cases and rolled by hand, loaded by hand, and then sent out to the ships to be dropped off. They were dropped off all over up and down the East Coast by volunteers. The Navy was involved in this because, of course, there was a lot of Navy involvement in the Whitsall Oceanographic at that time. The Fish and Wildlife Service was involved in this, and their boats were dropping these bottles all over the place. The lightships all up and down the East Coast of the United States were putting these bottles over on a regular basis. And every oceanographic vessel that made a voyage then carried these grip bottles with them and threw them over when they stopped for a station. That's a lot of bottles over the course of time, 300,000 bottles. But he was very, very persuasive at getting anybody that was going to sea to take bottles with them and to know their location and to put them overboard on a regular basis and keep good records. And of course, that's where all the origin records come from.
Now, I mean, this is clearly a labor of love to hand fill 300,000 bottles, all of the work involved in organizing volunteers and getting these bottles onto boats and overboard. And then did your family get involved? Was this something that became a whole family endeavor as well?
It wasn't a whole family endeavor. The family is very small. I am the only child in the family. So there's not a lot of, and he had no brothers and sisters, and nor did my mother. I, on the other hand, there's a reasonably good chance that I'm the one that loaded the bottle that Warren found in Nova Scotia. I used to go down to his lab, which was up in Bigelow then. It was big lab, and they had a big area they used to put the bottles together. I used to load the bottles, which involved rolling the cards and putting them in, adding some sand ballast so they moved with the current and not the wind, and corking them. I used to get paid a penny for every 10 bottles I did, and in a long, long afternoon, it was sometimes possible to make 10 cents, which brings up the matter of the 50-cent reward, which now seems like nothing, but then was actually a fairly substantial amount of money. He had a long, ongoing correspondence with a beachcomber in Nova Scotia who found quite a number of his bottles and depended on those rewards for part of his living. I remember there were a number of letters that were handwritten because his typewriter ribbon had run out and he couldn't afford to buy a new one, and the old man finally sent him some money to buy a new typewriter ribbon so he could go back to typing his responses. But I think that very few of these bottles were put away and kept by people because everybody that found them was interested in their origin, wanted to know where that bottle was put in and where it had been. And that's part of the romance of the sea.
All right. We are talking about Dean Bumpus's Bottle Drifters, one of which was recently found off the coast of Nova Scotia. We will talk more after a short break.